relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka and our very special guest host, Kurt Schlichter.
Hey, folks, we are back on America First with Dr. Seb Gorka. I am Kurt Schlichter, and I'm going to be joined by Michael Malice in just a moment, if I can ever figure this damn thing out. But in any case, we were talking about General Milley. You remember General Milley? He's the guy who went over there for that to Capitol Hill and basically humiliated himself in front of the entire United States. But more importantly, in front of our enemies. Putin's got to be laughing. Xi's got to be laughing. Whoever the hell's in charge over in Iran has to be laughing. Because this guy is a train wreck. Now, I said he was head of Delta Force. It turns out all my military guys are going, no, he wasn't in Delta Force. He was just in Fifth Group. That means Special Force. He was a Green Beret. And a lot of people are thinking, how can a Green Beret, who's supposed to be totally badass, become this? I don't know. It's anarchy, folks. That's the problem. Everything's falling apart. And speaking of anarchy, I've got a really special guest here, a guy who managed to get himself, with his latest book on anarchism, down to like number three on all of Amazon, Michael Malice. How are you doing, man?
Good to be here, Sebastian.
Thank you, Michael Malice. I love doing that. You're like, you know, You call yourself an anarchist. You have a book. Tell us about your book real quick.
Sure. The book's The Anarchist Handbook. And I think as you can go to anarchisthandbook.com, I think as more and more people, especially on the right, have come to understand that the Republican Party has absolutely no interest in looking out for their values and their rights, that people are looking for alternative answers. And in my view, and in the view of increasing many, anarchism, which is a stateless society, is that alternative.
Well, you know, Michael, we've hung out, and look, life around you is not complete chaos. I mean, you're not running around, you're not throwing bombs, you're not setting fires, you know, you're not sacrificing children to your hideous demon god, at least not when we're hanging out. What is anarchism as opposed to just like being a normal person?
Well, I don't know about normal. Neither you nor I are normal, or else why would people want to talk to us, I think. But anarchism is a voluntary society where the concept of unchosen authority is regarded as a fallacy. And let me give you one example about chaos. You're an attorney. There's an essay in this book called The Myth of Objective Law by John Hasnas. And every attorney I've ever spoken to, despite the claim that the law is objective and they go by the book, will tell you, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, that a lot of times you have no idea how the judge is going to rule. There's so many different ways you can go. At the very least, you know, you're out a lot of money in terms of legal fees, a lot of time and headaches. Whereas if things are judged privately, let's suppose I have a dispute with Macy's or I have a dispute with eBay, sometimes I don't get what I want. They're not going to take back that sweater. But at the very least, I'm going to have a conclusion to my disagreement very quickly and cheaply and efficiently. So that's one example where anarchism, which is private voluntary relationships, is far superior to even the minarchist state.
Well, Michael Malice, actually, that hits home for me because I was talking to a client on my drive through Los Angeles over to the Seb Gorka studio annex. And I said, look, we're right on the law. The law goes our way. We should win. But, you know, we might not because the judge might be wrong. He might not follow the law. And I have to explain that to people because it happens, and it happens much more than regular people think.
Right. And that is a great example of how the law forces chaos. Another example are things like when we saw the looting last year. Now, you would think at the very basis of any kind of peaceful legal system or any kind of civilized society, you have a right to defend your person and your property against aggressors. This is 101 type stuff. Yet we saw in 2020 that the people who were destroying property were championed and had no consequences, whereas many of those who took it upon themselves to defy the government police monopoly and do something about it, they are the ones who are being made examples of.
Well, that's true. Now, why do, and I think I know the answer, why would the powers that be enforce a system like this left and right?
Yeah, I think people are coming to understand that despite their antics in front of the camera, Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer and Kevin McCarthy have a lot more in common with them, with each other, than they do with the population. And we're seeing over and over, you know, sure, they fight in front of the cameras and they scream and whatever, but as soon as those cameras are gone, they're fist bumping each other and having a swell all time. So the fact that we have more and more cameras, the fact that we see more how these people behave, the fact that we see them on Twitter and realize these are not some kind of, you know, elite that should be respected, but rather people who should be condemned and made to fear the population as the founding fathers would have wanted, I think the healthier America is going to become.
Well, Michael Malice, I think you bring up a great point. In fact, you always bring up great points. I don't agree with everything you say, but gosh, I don't have to, nor you with me, though we do agree on the value of Armenian chicken here in Los Angeles.
Oh, yes, that was the last meal I had before I flew back here to this hellhole that is New York City.
Well,
heckhole, excuse me.
Heckhole. There, a lot of people in the past, you know, rejected anarchism because they had faith in the system. The explosion of new media and the ability to record it. I mean, I've got a broadcast level camera here in my phone. I think that's changed things dramatically.
Oh, absolutely. And we there's even another example of how technology liberates people. You and I are dinosaurs. We're old enough to remember the Fairness Doctrine.
Yes.
And what you would have on television, you'd have a conservative point of view, and you'd have a liberal. But the liberal would be someone who's hardcore left, and the conservative point of view would be William F. Buckley. Now, we can imagine this happens right now on CNN or MSNBC. For the liberals, you'll have, you know, AOC, and for the Republicans, you have Bill Kristol. So the premise for the viewer is that this is the range of acceptable opinion. Thanks to technology and social media and talk radio, this happened in the early 80s, people came to realize, wait a minute, these are not the limits of what choices are allowed to me as an American. I'm free to choose to believe what I want. And increasingly, people resent the fact that they're being forced to be boxed into this false alternative between two people who are, at the very least, contemptible human beings.
Well, Michael Malice, let me ask you something. Look, a lot of conservatives are by nature conservative, and they look at the idea of anarchism and they like some of what they say. It's like libertarianism, right? They have a little dalliance with it, but they're not willing to, you know, commit. Is there a way not to go full anarchist? Because I think that may be a bridge too far for a lot of folks, a bridge built not by the government, but by people coming together for their own common interest. And is there a way to put some anarchist elements into conservatism? Can we make a hybrid?
Sure. There's an essay in this book, which was written, I think, in 1912 by Voltairine de Cleyre. She died in her early 40s, I believe, a century ago. And it's called Anarchism in American Tradition. And she points out that the anarchist principles are basically the founding principles of self-responsibility, of regarding the state with skepticism at the very least, of having things like militias instead of a standing army, of expecting people to arm themselves and to look out for their neighbors instead of having a government monopoly on policing. What I'm very surprised about, and I saw some of your tweets on this as well, and very gladdened by, is to what extent conservatives have come to realize in the last year that the police are the ones who are enforcing every single edict that Gretchen Whitmer, Governor Cuomo, Gavin Newsom are putting forward. And this concept of back the blue, when the blue are the ones who are going into cities and making people disarmed and vulnerable to predation by mobs and criminals, that sea change is something I'm ecstatic to see.
Well, you know, we want to support police officers when they, you know, rescue a kid from a kidnapper. But on the other hand, when they start hassling a single mom who took their kids to the playground and doesn't wrap a diaper around their face, that's a whole different story. Now, we've only got about 30 seconds left. For people who are like saying that anarchism's scary because it sounds like, you know, anarchy, how do people get a sense of safety in an anarchist environment? Doesn't it mean they have to work harder and take personal responsibility?
It means get a gun and do not rely on the government, which hates and despises you, for your protection.
Michael Malice.
I think that one sentence will answer that.
I don't think it's too much to say that I love you deeply and that I can't wait to share Armenian chicken with you next time you're out here in Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, this is America First with Dr. Seb Gorka, except I'm Kurt Schlichter, and we're going to be right back with Tom Sauer.
Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is America First with the one and only Kurt Schlichter.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka. We are on America First. We've got thousands of people listening to us or watching us on Rumble and YouTube. You should do that. You get Schlichter vision, right? I got a jacket on. I don't have a tie. I got a haircut. I'm looking fresh. I'm looking perky. You want to be a part of this. You want to share the magic. Speaking of sharing the magic, I've got somebody on because of something I saw yesterday. If you're living here in Los Angeles, you probably heard about it. You probably heard it. If you're on Twitter, the LAPD decided they were going to do a controlled explosion yesterday, and it was out of control. So I thought, who do I know who's a friend of mine, a client of my law firm, and a veteran of the Navy, and an explosive ordnance demolition expert? And I thought, well, gosh, we got to have Tom Sauer. Tom, how are you?
Hey, Kurt. Good to be on again. Got to say, it's quite the honor to follow behind Michael Malice. Quite the
panel. It was quite the honor to have him. He is such a mischievous little elf, isn't he?
He is, but I'll tell you, I tune in all the stuff. I watch all the material. Great books, and I find myself you know, eventually kind of leaning in that direction. Every once in a while, it's like, maybe he's
the
on
anarchy
to
direction.
Maybe he's on to something.
The anarchy direction. Like, well, luckily you have a great lawyer for when you try that anarchy stuff out and you get arrested. So that's,
I do. Absolutely.
That's an amazing that's an amazing idea. But look.
Yeah.
What the heck happened yesterday? It looked like they were trying to do some sort of controlled demolition with the LAPD, and that didn't look too controlled to me.
Yeah. Well, basically what happened, it seems like, you know, I read about it, and it looked that, like, okay, so it looks like they did everything right, all the procedures and everything like that, and, you know, look, a lot of people might want to trash talk LAPD bomb squad, but they're very experienced. They get a lot of calls quite often. These guys aren't dummies, right? And, you know, most likely from what I read, and this is my disclaimer, like, I didn't speak to anybody on the inside or anything like that, and just kind of as an outside observer with the knowledge and background I know.
Well, you spent a lot of time in the United States Navy blowing stuff up.
A little bit. I spent a good minute doing that, right.
Yeah.
And so, and it's a lot of fun. I absolutely loved every minute of it. And
you
I'll
think,
tell you what, though, is it
you think I ran a heavily armed car wash, okay? You got to blow stuff up.
Well, my time in Navy OD was mostly beer and dirty jokes, but I mean, it was great. But I'll tell you, but no, we had a lot of fun and we did, learned a lot of stuff. It was good. But I would say this much is that what it looks like is that the TCV, the total containment vessel, that big giant chamber you saw explode.
Yeah, it's a big round
steel ball. Yeah, it is. It looks like that thing most likely failed, right? Either whether it's an engineering flaw, I don't know if it was a design flaw, but some sort of an engineering flaw. Most likely, that's what folks are saying. It looks like everything's right. The largest one in production by anybody out there only is rated to carry to withstand about 20 pounds, you know, 8.8 kilos, so about 20 pounds of TNT equivalent. All right. So
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. 20 pounds of TNT will blow apart a big steel sphere.
Well, that's the thing. Is it's supposed to contain that. Now, I'm sure that LAPD bomb squad had the wherewithal to know you don't put more than you need in there. In fact, they probably had a lot less in there, right?
Now,
a lot less. Because they didn't know exactly what it was.
Trying to detonate it or just trying to safeguard it?
Yeah, that was supposed to be a controlled detonation. So that's okay. One of the things that they're meant for. You put it in there. Sometimes you can transport it, but in this case, you can see they even had a command wire went out. They called out fire in the hole, and it was meant to be a controlled detonation. So then, you know, from there, you know, obviously it failed. And what it's meant to do is contain that detonation, and then there's vents that release all that gas, that pressurized gas, in a controlled manner, right? So then what happens is obviously it looks like that thing failed, and it failed badly. And then also on top of that, it makes it worse because that detonation wasn't supposed to be that big because if you remember the Boston bombers, right? Remember the Boston Marathon bombers? They put those bombs into pressure cookers, right?
Uh-huh.
Sealed containers. It's like a pipe bomb. So you don't need, you see, you can have a little bit of bang in there or a moderate amount of bang. And then once that chemical explosion occurs, well, then when you bust through that actual containment vessel, then you have the mechanical explosion, right? Where it's just like, you know, if you throw Mentos into a soda bottle, screw the lid over, right? All that gas is going to expand. Eventually that thing's going to make a big old pop, right? Well, it happened on a massive scale. So, or same thing like with pipe bombs. The reason why, I mean, it's just one giant pipe bomb. So it actually was worse. So had they detonated that, like if it was just in a cardboard box, it would have made a good bang, but it wouldn't have been nearly as bad because it was in that containment vessel that was supposed to contain it, right? And it failed for whatever reason, and now we have what we have. And then they found, like, the hatch to the containment vessel, like, two blocks away.
Nice.
In, like somebody's backyard, which that thing weighs hundreds of pounds, too. That's insane. So, I mean honestly, like everyone is lucky that nobody died. You know, it looks like we had two folks who were at least seriously injured. I got a number of police and firefighters who were injured, a couple civilians, an ATF agent. I mean, it's, as awful as it is, people are lucky.
You look at that thing, you're like, what the hell? What was the explosive?
We don't know.
The good thing is,
they said they took x-rays. You know, the guy had a ton of fireworks. He had like 3,000 to 5,000 pounds of like fireworks, right? But that was
Time out. Some dude in a suburban LA neighborhood had a couple tons of fireworks just chilling in his garage,
in his backyard. Yeah.
Oh,
and it was
that
all
sounds smart
and packaged. That's the thing. It was palletized and packaged. So all that stuff that was deemed safe to move because it was all in a sealed container. It looked fine. They just bought in pork trucks and they hauled it away. But there are other devices they found that would seem to be improvised. And then, obviously, they said, okay, well, this stuff isn't safe to transport. We need to put it in the TCB and detonate it on our own. So they went to go do that, and obviously there was a catastrophic failure. But, you know, they know not to put the, not to put more than 20 pounds in there. And you always assume the worst. Even if you don't know exactly what that explosive is, right, you always assume, okay, this is probably pretty bad. If you don't know exactly what it is, you always assume worst case. Put it in there, and obviously that thing fails.
I think that makes good sense. Tom Sauer, of course, you're a Navy Academy graduate. We only got about a minute or two left. What do you think? And you've been out for a little while, like I have. What do you think of the new woke Navy?
Well, I got plenty of friends who are still in, most of them are at the 05, so like lieutenant colonel or commander in Navy level. And I talked to a lot of those folks. I got friends who are, you know, 06 and colonel or captain, and I talked to a couple generals and admirals now and again. And I would say that generally speaking, when you hear about all this woke Navy stuff and they're doing, is, you know, we had similar stuff when I was in. Wasn't quite as extreme, though. And look, we all just kind of know, all right, you know, when it comes to rank and file, folks who are actually, like, operating, doing the deed, we kind of just smile and nod. Okay, all right, cool, now we all go back to work. Right, just like any other HR presentation, you know, you got to go to some mandatory training. All the employees got to go sit here and listen to something, whether it's on the safety training or sexual harassment or, you know, diversity, whatever. Right, just it's like any other large corporation.
Just goes in one ear and out the other.
You nod it. I mean, not everyone, of course, but I'm sure there are more than a few folks who, behind closed doors, you know, they're going to have their own conversation. That's generally what I get. And I think you mentioned before. You talk to folks who are still in, and I think you're getting generally the same thing where, hey,
I'm getting a lot of similar stuff, Tom. I'm getting a lot of similar stuff, Tom Sauer. Thank you very much for your explosive revelations here on America First with Dr. Seb Gorka. I will be right back.
News and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling.
Here's looking at you, Snowflake. America First.
We're back on America First. I am guest host Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com, noted Los Angeles trial lawyer, a retired United States Army colonel, and the author of the Kelly Turnbull series of conservative novels. Action novels, folks. Do you want to talk to me? I want to talk to you. 833-3-GOLKA. That's 833-334-3752. Folks, listen up. Now is the time to save yourself some big money each month. Everybody likes cash, right? I know I do. And it really isn't difficult to make this happen. Just refinance your mortgage. And do it before rates get any higher. I mean it, folks. Tick tock. Things are going to tighten up. You need to act. The rates we're seeing really make a significant difference on your budget. Making now the time to call American Financing, America's home for home loans. Take advantage of a free mortgage review and see if you can save up to $1,000 a month. That's $1,000 in your pocket, man. Just by calling American Home Financing. There's no obligation, no upfront hidden fees, just a simple conversation about ways you can save. So what are you waiting for? Pre-qualify for free by calling 855-581-5828. That's 855-581-5828. Or visit AmericanFinancing.com. American Financing. NMLS 182334, NMLS consumeraccess.org. So, a lot of things happening, but you know, one of the things happening, they're finally cleaning up the Nexium mess. You remember that crazy cult with Keith Raniere, and it's been the subject of like six different miniseries. Allison Mack, who was a moderately attractive kind of like, not the like lead hot girl, but kind of like friend of the hot girl on some show. She's going to federal prison for 3 years, right? Because she was involved in this and she got human trafficking, abuse. Have you guys seen this Keith Raniere guy? I mean, have you seen this dude? Okay, he's a mutant. He's a mutant. I mean, he's a real weirdo. He's not a potato. I mean, like Brian Stelter. He's evocative of a potato, I guess. But I mean, look, this guy is not handsome. And yet he had all these women, including like movie starlet. She's not the only one who surrounded him in this bizarre kind of cult thing. And they're branding each other. And just, it's all bizarre. But you know who these people are not? Do you know who the people who fell for this are not members of? Our club, okay? Not conservatives. These guys were like Hillary supporting liberals. They were like, yeah, I let this guy brand me and starve me and abuse me. But you know what? You know who really gets me? That Trump guy. He's a disaster. No. I have said it for a long time. Liberal, affluent women are the worst people in America. The ones who go to Trader Joe's, they buy the screw top Chardonnay. They're the ones who complain that you're not wearing a mask in Trader Joe's when you're trying to find, a nice Bordeaux or something. Because every once in a while you find some good. Not screw top. The Karen cast. These are the women who all said, well, I think I'm going to support Joe Biden. I mean, he's going to raise taxes and everything. He's going to let criminals run rampant in the street. He's going to make America power circle the drain and disappear from the world stage. But you know what? No mean tweets. No mean tweets. Well, the thing is, they're the ones who are suckers. They're the ones who fell for it. They are the ones who ended up in this bizarre, creepy cult with this dude who's got like the mannerisms of Jeffrey Toobin and the looks of Brian Stelter. And these people want to determine the future of our country. Folks, we have to take our country back from these horrible people. And we're going to do it by putting America first. Stick around. We got Ned Ryan coming up.
Side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Bam. We are back here on America First. I am Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com, sitting in for Dr. Seb Gorka. Hey, I'm an author. I write the Kelly Turnbull series of conservative novels. I got the sixth one called The Split, will be coming out in July, this month, within just a few weeks. And part of it's set in Boston. And part of it revolves around Bunker Hill. And where did I, and I didn't do this on purpose, but my friend, Ned Ryan, who is joining me right here and now, just wrote a book about the Battle of Bunker Hill called The Adversaries. Ned, how's the book doing?
It got up to number 83 on all the books on Amazon. It was number one in some categories.
Wow.
And was top 20 in historical fiction. Obviously, we're getting ready for my next big surge. This is part of it. Tucker, which will be great.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You stomped the lead. What about Tucker? You're going on with Tucker?
Yeah, no, he's doing a Fox Nation special. We were supposed to talk about five or six different things. We spent 50 minutes talking about the book. So I think that's dropping at 4 p.m. tomorrow, and then he'll mention it on his Fox News show tomorrow night. So, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I think it's a story that we need to know more about, right? I mean, it's one of those things where we need to understand the last 9 or 10 months before Bunker Hill, why did Englishmen start shooting at each other, and what was really the issue? And Kurt, one of the reasons I wrote is obviously I'm a huge fan of Dr. Joseph Warren, who was a singular man who's not as well known today, but we should know more about him.
Well, tell us a little about Dr. Warren, because I didn't know that much about him either, and he's a big character here. And you're right, yes. This is a story of how a country breaks apart. I mean, I've been writing it in kind of a futuristic sense in my novels. You're writing it about the past, but let's face it, Ned, we're both commenting on the situation today. Why is this so important, and what's Dr. Warren got to teach us?
So a couple of things. First of all, Dr. Joseph Warren was a protege of Sam Adams and then really becomes the leader in the colony of Massachusetts and in Boston those last 9 or 10 months, become president of the National Congress, major general in the new army. You know, on the day of Bunker Hill, he literally has to borrow a horse and a musket because he's intent on fighting Bunker Hill. And when he gets there, he informs Israel Putnam, no, put me where the fighting's heaviest. Putnam sends him down the hill. He fights in the redoubt with William Prescott and then tells Prescott, the man, put me where the fighting's heaviest. This man actually believed in something so strongly that he was willing to fight for it. But, Kirk, you go back and you look at the history. These were English. 85% of Massachusetts at the time was direct English lineage. Wasn't Scottish, wasn't Irish. And all of a sudden, Englishmen start looking at each other and realizing they don't agree on some fundamentals like rule of law. Where do our rights come from? Who makes the laws? Who governs? And it kind of informs us today. But, you know, that the Englishmen colonized the shores of America decided you're not going to force us to fly. They actually believed they had transcendent rights. And no earthly power had given them those rights. No earthly power had given them. They actually believed they had transcendent rights, not only the right to property and speech, but also a right to conscience, a right to govern themselves. And Parliament, the King's ministers, said, we don't think so. We think these are more a series of suggestions, and you will submit. And if you don't, we'll send more troops and warships.
Well, Ned Ryan, you know, that has some resonation today. I mean, obviously, we are not at the point of fixing bayonets, and God willing, we'll never get there. I don't think we ever will get there. But the fact is, we're all Americans, and yet there are a lot of Americans who hate other Americans. You get on Twitter, and it's not just, I disagree with you, I have a different vision. It's, you're evil, and you need to be suppressed, silenced, and disenfranchised.
Which is in defiance of how we were founded. And Kurt, I'm very honest about who these men were. Imperfect human beings in an imperfect world. But the founders of the free American Republic believed that we should have liberty first, last, and forever. And it's something that they were willing to fight for because they believe so strongly in it. Have we always been true to it? No, of course not. Have we always aspired to it? Absolutely. And that's one of the things I think we've lost sight of, because there's some people that truly believe, first of all, our rights don't come from God. They come from the government. And therefore, if they don't like what your ideas are, your speech, we don't have to listen to it. In fact, you should shut up. And if you don't shut up, we're going to with conscience so that you actually get a chance to actually, you know, be in line with what we believe, which is, again, inconsistent with how this country was founded.
Well, Ned, look, I had the chance to read an advance copy of The Adversaries, and I'm here not as, hey, my friend wrote a book, everybody go buy it. It's I mean, this was a moving book that taught me things I didn't know. I frankly used some of that new knowledge on my own book, The Split, coming out later this month. And I bet yours doesn't have crocodiles. Mine has crocodiles, but and automatic weapons.
No crocodiles.
Look, I mean, it's very moving because it starts out, everybody's together, and you can see it breaking apart, and people are making mistakes, evaluating their side. Well, if we go take their guns, that'll suppress everything. That'll be the end of it. And the other side's like, you know, no, that's simply going to pour gasoline on the fire. How can we learn from what happened with the British and the colonists to help Americans work together to resolve our differences using the framework of the Constitution rather than extra constitutional frameworks like cancellation, silencing, and sometimes even violence.
Well, so I know we've got limited time. I'll explain it this way.
I'm holding you over for the next segment because we got to talk some politics too. Because you had American Majority, but go ahead and answer. We got about 30 seconds, I think.
Agreeing on certain fundamentals, where do our rights come from? Government in our lives. I mean, government is meant to protect our rights and take none of them away. And we have to have a conversation about, you know, the representatives are supposed to be, you know, stewards of the money and power given to them in a government of, by, and for the people. So we've got to get back to discussing certain fundamentals. And until we do, we're going to continue to have friction.
Well, Ned Ryan, I think that is a very wise advice. I want to keep you over to talk a little about the upcoming election and the rebellion against the noxious poison that is CRT. This is KAS, Kurt Andrews Schlichter, sitting in for the great Dr. Seb Gorka on America First. Stick around.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by American Financing.
We're back on America First. I am guest host Kurt Schlichter. We're continuing our conversation with the author of The Adversaries, Ned Ryan. Hey, guys, like I said in the previous segment, this is not a, hey, my friend borrowed a book, so go get it. This is a really good book, and it's about important stuff, and you should go read it, The Adversaries. Now, Ned is a multi-talented Renaissance man of many talents, and one of them in his role in the American Majority is he is a keen observer of American politics. I want to ask you about two things. Yeah. First, I want to ask you about President Trump and what he's going to do. Second, I want to ask you about the Capitol Hill Tourist Persecution Committee and the complicitness of the Beltway cowgirl, Liz Cheney. Will President Trump run again, and should he?
So here's what I think is going to happen. He's going to look at the midterms as a bellwether, and he's going to make endorsements, and he's going to look at his win percentage, and he's going to look at does he have the clout to actually basically win most of the primaries he endorses in. And if he does, I think he leans towards it. And quite frankly, I tell people it doesn't really matter what a lot of us think. It's up to him. And does he decide that he wants to? I will say this, Kurt. I think the thing that's encouraging, he has put Susie Wiles in a position of real power. And I trust Susie to make a lot of good decisions on personnel, which has always been an Achilles heel for Trump.
So, just a little bit. Dr. Gorka being one notable exception.
Sorry, Kurt.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you are correct. Personnel has always been one of Donald Trump's biggest challenges. Dr. Gorka accepted, of course.
That's right. And I think that's something that's been cleaned up. There's still room for improvement, but I think we're going to have to wait and see how the midterms go. And if they go well, let's see what happens in January of 2023. But I look at it this way, Kurt. I am convinced that regardless of what he does, an America First candidate will be our nominee in 2024. If it's not Trump, it'll be DeSantis.
I think you're not thinking Nikki Haley, huh?
No, it's in three camps right now. It's America First. It's kind of the old school conservative ink establishment. And it's the Never Trumpers. Neither of those last two are going to win the nomination in 2024. So I feel content. I feel good that an America First candidate will win the nomination and will have a strong champion for America First, whether it's Trump or DeSantis. I don't see anybody else being able to beat them.
Well, we have very quickly, and we only have about 30 seconds. Nancy Pelosi has, convened her star chamber, her little kangaroo court, to persecute people taking selfies on the rotunda. They're going to make that the big issue for the congressional elections. Actually, we've got about 15 seconds. You think that's going to fly, Ned Ryan?
No, I don't. And you know, she said she's going to put Liz Cheney on this January 6th commission. Ugh. Doesn't matter. Liz is going to lose by 20, 25 points in the primary. So knock yourself out, Liz.
Thank God. Ned Ryan, author of The Adversaries. Go check it out. It's a good book, and it's an important one. I'm Kurt Schlichter. This is America First. Stick around. We got Julie Kelly coming up, and she's amazing.